This is episode number 202 of the Well-Fed Women podcast. Welcome to Well-Fed Women. I'm your co-host, Noelle Tarr, a nutritional therapy practitioner and a certified personal trainer, and I'm joined by my bestie, Stephanie Ruper, author of the best-selling book, Sexy by Nature. On the show, we provide moderately amusing banter, authentic, unfiltered conversations relating to nutrition, fitness, mindset, and body image, and offer empowering advice for women from women. While you're listening, please keep in mind that the information on this podcast is intended to provide helpful and informative material and should not be used to diagnose or treat disease. We are so excited to have you here. So now let's have some fun. Welcome, great. Stephanie.
Hi.
What were you saying?
202, you know, I'm sorry. I know we do this all the time.
So why not do it again? Wow. Can you believe it's like number 202?
For 202 episodes, we have bored you by commenting on the episode number.
Hey, Merry Christmas to everybody who's listening on Christmas Day. It's one of those years where Christmas Day and New Year's Day happens on a Tuesday, which happens to be our podcast launch day. So happy holidays, folks.
Happy holidays, folks.
It's not Christmas Day for us, however, because we're recording in advance. Back in the day when people used to do podcasts, a lot of people were really into the live thing, and they'd actually record them live. Do you remember when what was his name? Sean Croxton? Did you ever listen to his podcast?
I was on Sean's show several times.
Yeah, I remember that, but I didn't know if you actually listened to it.
No, of course. I didn't. No offense, Sean. You're great. I don't listen to any podcast.
He doesn't podcast anymore, but his really early episodes were like live, and he would have people call in live.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny? That would be a lot. And I do think a lot of the OG podcasters did that too. That was kind of the thing, was like a live show. And then we all realized.
Yeah. Nowadays, you hire people to pretend to call in live.
Wait, is that a real thing?
That's a real thing.
Wow.
Yep.
Not surprising.
Yep.
Nothing surprises me anymore at all.
If like, you're looking for a side gig, you can pretend to call into our show.
I know, not surprised at all. I'm so skeptical of anything that I watch now, especially when it's like reality TV. I'm like, that's not real. No, that was so staged. Did you see? Like, I can't.
I've actually been surprised. I always assumed that everything was always fake and everything. And I've been kind of surprised by accounts I've heard of the reality of things. You know, like the Biggest Loser. Like, you can't make that stuff up.
You can't. A lot of that is pretty real. But the drama is just sort of exaggerated, so to speak.
Yeah, well, people thrive on that, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're so happy to have an opportunity to be dramatic on TV.
That show, what was that show that was very popular when we were in high school?
The one with the house on MTV?
Laguna Beach. What? The house on MTV?
No, the, what was it called? Real something?
Real World.
Real World.
Yes. Yeah. I don't even know if that still comes on. I haven't watched MTV in
years.
It
was like the first reality TV show.
It was. And it was like, you think you know, but you have no idea. Wasn't that the Real World? Please tell me that was the Real World.
I think so.
I watched a couple and then, you know.
I moved out
of college life and moved on. But Laguna Beach, which was like back in the day when we were younger, that whole show was staged to the max. And that was fascinating to me after the fact, because it all came out as like, oh no, this was completely staged. And like, we actually didn't have relationship problems. And these two people were not actually at all interested in each other or dating. So they completely staged everything, which, then I was like, oh, that makes sense. It was a bunch of high schoolers, though, so.
I never saw it, so I don't know.
Oh, it was the best. And then the spinoff. I think the spinoff was called The Hills, or maybe it was called The Hills. I can't remember. I don't know. All the things. Anyway, so did you have a Friendsgiving?
I had two consecutive Thanksgiving dinners, which was extremely painful, and I do not recommend. just from all the eating. Two vegan Thanksgivings because I'm in Oxford. Mm-hmm. Two vegan Thanksgivings.
Yeah.
And they were both really, really, really lovely.
Did you cook and did you make things?
No, on both instances, I was like, oh, I always make things. I'm so sorry I didn't make something this one time, but I never make anything. I will often buy things to take. I'll buy or whatever. But there's no, I will not take a couple hours out of my day to prepare food. I just don't. So okay. I helped people in the kitchen did all the dishes.
See, that's important. We all need folks to do the dishes.
I'm the dishes person, and I get like really fierce when other people try to, you know, I kind of snarl with my teeth. You know, I bare my teeth at you. I'm like,
yeah. I did two Friendsgivings, which I will get into further. And then I hosted. This was our first year hosting. So it was a bit of a crazy week because we actually bought a house. We bought a house on Tuesday. So that happened on Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And then we had people coming into town on Wednesday, staying with us. And then other family coming in from out of town, staying in hotels and stuff. It was all my husband's side of the family. And then we ended up having a few more people over for Thanksgiving that were friends and just didn't, you know, have anywhere to go or didn't have family in town. But the weekend before Thanksgiving, I had a Friendsgiving with a neighbor, which I don't know if I've talked about this, but like, it's really hard to make friends when you're an adult. Like, it's just really hard. Like, you just, when you're doing your thing and you're working, or you're working from home, or you're being a mom or whatever, you just get really busy and it's just hard. Like, I haven't made any local friends. Like, all my friends are afar. So it was really cool to like have a neighbor or two. Like, we had a couple of the neighbors all with, you know, small kids, but like, we all get along, you know, and they're all good people. And I know I've talked about this on here too, which I'm not going to go into further, but it's hard to find good people who are actually interested. It's very hard to find people who are like, if you say, hey, how are you? They'd be like, oh, I'm good. How are you? And what do you do? And what, you know, like, it's just really hard to find people.
Story of my life.
Yeah. It's just hard to find people who are also interested in being a friend to you. You know what I mean? And I found that, I found people who are like super want to help me in every capacity. Yeah. It's just, and I'm like, why are you so helpful? Like, this is so odd to me. But it's really great. So then I hosted, and that was a lot, and I ended up really hurting my back a little bit because I was doing a lot of standing and, you know, cooking and cleaning up and all that stuff, and that was a little bit much. And then my husband had to work all through the week because, retail and shift work. He's in retail management. And then I had a Friendsgiving with actually Stacy. So Stacy doesn't live too far from me. Her name's Stacy Toth. She's one of the OG paleo bloggers for those of you who are OG the Paleo Women podcast listeners. She and Sarah Ballantyne came into town, and so we all did like a little Friendsgiving together. Russ did too. Russ Crandall of The Domestic Man. So I got to hang out with them. Yeah, and it was all, and we invited one other girl and like a couple people, and they were all cookbook authors, and it was really good food, and everybody's kids were there, and so it was just really nice. It was like, wow, I have friends that I get to see. So it was really refreshing, but it was a very busy week, and now I'm just ready to do nothing, which is not possible because I have a toddler, and also have to catch up on all the business things. But it was a good week. It was just a lot. It was a good fun, and I think this is a great example of like quote unquote good stress when you really have to be vigilant about taking care of yourself and taking downtime after like craziness like this. Is that it is hard on your body. Point blank, like my back, you know, it's like, okay, my physical health is feeling it. I've kind of been spinny, and like, we've been doing a lot. We're doing renovations this week, actually the next 2 weeks on the house, and then we're moving in. And so it's just a lot to like, you know, finding the right contractors and deciding on fixtures. We are picking out everything and designing it. And so that's been a lot on me because I'm like, how do you know what to look for? Like, where do we go to find backsplash? And it's so, you know, you can go to Home Depot or Lowe's, but it's a lot of basic things. And of course, I'm very particular. So I'm like, well, where do we go now? So it's been a really great learning experience, but also, you know, quote unquote, good stress. And I've had to be really intentional about getting to sleep and sleeping in, if possible. So, yeah. So it's been fun. There's been a lot going on. But by the time this airs, we should be in our new house, which is actually down the street. It's not this is going to be the easiest move that we've done yet. This is probably like our seventh move as a couple. So mm-hmm. It's the norm, but it'll be easy. We're excited. So, yay. So, Friendsgiving and food. I enjoyed all the food, and people love leftovers, but, like, I'm sick of turkey and, like, whipped sweet potatoes now. Like, I'm like, can we make tacos tonight? Like, we have a lot of food in the fridge, but I'm also, like, I don't want it again. Like, it's really great for, like, a day or two, but then it's, like, no thanks. I know leftovers are great, but I got to figure out something else to do with some turkey. Hey, before we get into fun first announcement. I did an episode with Dana last week. I think it was last week. The whole adrenal health episode, and we didn't get to all the questions. I'm trying to schedule part two with her right now. I want to get it up and rolling at some point. We're just going to jump on together and finish all the questions that we didn't get to, because there were some really big topics that we wanted to get to that we didn't. So part two will be coming soon. So all of you who are like, you basically just scratched the surface of adrenal health, like, yes, we did. So working on that, that's why Steph and I are back and doing questions and all the fun things again. Second announcement, I've been getting a lot of questions about Fabletics. Okay, so I officially got my order from Fabletics, which I ordered 10 things and a lot of the different leggings. And I've been getting some questions about what I recommend. I'm just going to tell you exactly what to get, because they are supporting the podcast, which we are so thankful for. I would have never bought from Fabletics before, like actually being forced to look at the company, because my assistant was like, you should look at this. This is really great. And I know a lot of people who love this. And so I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. Like, what do I have to lose? Because I've ordered from everybody. I've ordered from Under Armour. I've ordered from Nike. Like, I've ordered from Lululemon. Like, if it's out there, I've done it. I worked in running in retail, and I've seen all the leggings and all the tights and worn all of them. So I officially got all my stuff, and I seriously have not taken them off since I got them. They have, if you have not tried high-waisted leggings yet, like, what are you even doing with your life? High waist, oh, it just feels so good. It's so secure. And I know that, like, when we were younger, when Steph and I were kids, it was all about, like, the low-rise jeans. And I don't know why that was so popular, because it's so dang uncomfortable. So try a high-waisted legging. The one that I love is the high-waisted printed power hold legging. High-waisted printed power hold legging. I have it in two prints. They're both amazing. They fit very true to size. So this is something else that I love about Fabletics that I did not expect. I'm going to be honest. Because when you order from somebody like Nike or Under Armour, which, okay, they're big businesses, they got a lot going on, their leggings are really fit for, like, a lean runner. And so if you try on their leggings, you're likely going to find it's going to take you a while, because the waist is going to be too tight, or it's going to be too tight around the butt or too tight around the legs if you're not, like, an 18-year-old runner. Just going to be honest. It kind of sucks, which is why I don't buy from them anymore. But Fabletics fits curvy bodies really well, and it's very true to size. The other legging that I love that's a high-waisted legging is the seamless high-waisted jacquard legging. It's truly like a seamless, soft, stretchy fabric that's sort of like that compression fabric that feels really good, which I love when I'm working out in terms of, like, it being high-waisted. So get that, and then make sure that you get the Sammy hooded jacket, which I'm wearing right now. It's, like, gathered in the back, and it's long in the back. It's gathered in the waist, and then it's long in the back, so it covers your butt, and it's like a hooded jacket, and I just wear it every day now. So those are your three things that I would say please go and get. I'm so impressed. I love everything that I've got. I didn't return any of it, which is huge. I usually end up buying, like, 10 things and returning half of them. I am that person, sorry. But you just never know how things are going to fit. So if you, you've probably heard me mention the link before, but it is fabletics.com/wellfedwomen. We'll link to it in the show notes. The offer is get two leggings for $24, which is a $99 value when you sign up for a VIP membership. One of the cool things about the VIP membership is you do get 50% off regular pricing and then instant access to their latest collection. So they regularly come out with stuff and different prints and different, like, you know, whatever styles for the season. And then the best part is there really is no commitment to order on a regular basis. You can defer your money and your purchase for that month until next month. So it's not like you sign up and you have to buy something every month. So look at it. I've asked around, a lot of people love it. You can build a really solid wardrobe with that VIP membership. You know, get the two leggings and then maybe get a jacket the next month. Their long sleeve tops fit very comfortably, as do their tanks. So I haven't been able to wear the tanks very much because it's cold outside, but they fit really great. So I was really, really excited. And they fit, what should I say, normal size bodies, not lean runners, which nothing wrong with lean runners. It's just really hard to find a legging that isn't like cutting you off in the waist, which again, not comfortable, or is just like suction tight on your butt, which again, just not what I want when I'm in the gym. Sorry, I just don't want to be showing that much off. So fabletics.com/wellfedwomen. Are you ready to get into the questions? Okay, question number one is from Sheena. Big fan of the podcast and your message, and appreciate you guys keeping me company as I recover in bed from surgery a few months ago. I am in the process of recovering from a significant surgery, restoring my gut and metabolism with a functional RD from years of over-exercising and under-eating, and have been for the last few years, healing mentally, spiritually, emotionally from an eating disorder that I've had since childhood and only became aware of at age 30. I'm 34 now and a mom of two. I work full-time in sports medicine and for the last several years have been a group exercise instructor for many gyms in my area, focusing on strength training and HIIT workouts. Not to brag, but I know I was an awesome instructor and I really enjoyed the connections with my students and helping them reach their fitness goals. I felt like I was good because of my focus on making sure people had good form and technique and my ability to answer questions in a non-disordered, honest way. However, as part of my own recovery, I've had to let go of teaching and many of my classes due to reduce stress, cortisol, everything I teach involves lifting, working out with my classes. And finally, after this surgery, all of them due to my physical restrictions. My question is, I find myself struggling with my identity, not teaching or competitively participating in exercise. Right now, I focus on yoga and walking, which I enjoy, but I miss who I was as an instructor and can't quite figure out how to tap into that part of my personality and other parts of my business. It doesn't help that my full-time job is in a gym, so I'm surrounded by fitness day in and day out. I recognize that teaching fitness in many ways for me was like being a bartender as an alcoholic, so I know on some level, taking time off is necessary for healing. I also know that I can return to teaching classes in a few years if I want to in a healthier way. I am hoping you too can help shed some light on how to figure out who I am without having exercise in my life in the same way. It amazes me how many people in the fitness industry share some aspect of this story, finding self-confidence and worthiness through fitness only to have the tight restrictions of diet and working out around the clock actually keeping you less healthy. Thanks, SPS, Team Lemons, haha. PBS, getting different certifications isn't an option right now due to trying to minimize stress. And then PPPS, I really appreciate the postpartum work you were doing. My kids are older now, but for me, after each child was born, I totally fell back into the overexercise and eating disordered behavior, like teaching and doing marathons right after having a baby. I have no support or community postpartum and no concept of what was normal. If I had 1/10 of the information that you were sharing, it would have changed my life. Thank you for helping other women hear these messages. Not everyone has a strong female support team or family, so it can be hard to even know what is normal or not when you are navigating postpartum and new motherhood. This is very true. Thanks. Thanks for all that.
Aw, thanks, Noelle.
By the way, we did get a lot of really great emails and around every topic. I tried, when you guys would send positive feedback, I would forward it on to the person that I did the interview with. So I got quite a few emails about how like impactful the breastfeeding episode was with Beth. And so I would actually forward it on to Beth. And she was really touched by that because it's hard. It was hard to tell her story. I think most of you get that. It's hard when we have expectations for ourselves and somehow that doesn't happen. Right. And we end up feeling like a failure. And so that was the whole purpose of the series. I was very thankful to her for sharing. And so I would share that stuff with her. And she was really touched by all that. A lot of people were really thankful. So thanks for sending all your feedback. I think it really touched all the people who came on. So fitness identity
crisis.
Yes.
Well, okay, so to start off, it sounds like you're still working in the gym. You're just not teaching classes. that's the impression I, is that also yes. the impression you got, Noel? Yeah. So I'm curious about what your work is like there and what you can do to cultivate some sort of pride around it, whatever that might be. And again, since I'm not sure, I can't get much more specific than that, but you might want to think about that and to do some mental work to think about why the piece that you're doing right now is important. You know, I think an idea that might be worth sitting with is the impact of what it is that you are doing with your life. I think a lot of the times when we all wrap our identities up with our careers, you know, it's really hard not to. The first question you ask when you meet somebody new is, hey, what do you do? You know, like that's definitely a thing. But when we're talking about what makes us feel worthwhile, I think it's really important to try to suck as much ego out of that question as possible and to base the feeling of worthiness on how we contribute to the world. And that could be through our work or through other things. And in doing so, you get a sense of worthwhileness about what you're up to, you know, both yourself, but also more what you're up to. You get this sense of worthwhileness that isn't predicated on who you are, but is instead in how you act and is external. And in some senses is pretty stable, right? You have things in yourself that can be stable internally, but also the external world can be a different source of stability. And so when either one is in flux, you can rely on the other, you know? And if your feelings of personal identity are fluctuating, I would suggest perhaps considering thinking more about, you know, how they can sit in the ways in which you interact with the world. So you could think about that in terms of your job, and also in terms of the other things that you do, right? Your job doesn't have to define you. When you meet somebody and they say, what do? You don't have to say, oh, well, you know, I do X, Y, and Z jobs at a gym. You can say, well, I participate a lot in my kids after school programs or something. And that gives me a lot of joy because of what it does for these people. I think that that's really important and helpful. One of the things that I really dislike the most in my personal experience, one of the things I dislike the most about worrying about my body size or my identity in terms of how I look or how I present to people, which is kind of, you know, what you're dealing with here, is that it takes so much of our energy and sort of zeroes it in on very specific parts of ourselves that might not be like, and you know this, it might not be the best parts to actually be focusing on. And I mean best in terms of our personal health and our impacts on the world. You could actually be thinking about other kinds of values and other attributes of yourself that are not related to fitness, right? Because on one hand, there are the physical aspects, the way you look, the types of things that we really overtly try to fight that are obvious that we're fighting. And that has to do with the disordered eating behaviors and all of that. It's all wrapped up in that. But there are the values attached to that, the endurance, the perseverance, the strength, the discipline, all of these sorts of things. And I would say, one, that you can be strong and have perseverance and fortitude and all these things and not have it be related to your physical activity. You know, quick aside, but I think it's relevant, so I'll say it. I get involved with really slight men a lot, like really slender ones who aren't very muscular. And many of them are like self-conscious about that sort of thing. But I tell people all the time, like what I really, really value is strength. And it's not the kind that necessarily or even is like exhibited with dumbbells, right? It's really strong that you've overcome these sorts of things and that you have children and I'm sure have faced many other challenges in your life, right? Like there are other kinds of strength and ones that I think are deeper and more human, you know, more important to the quality of our human experience. And so all of these types of values that we wrap up with fitness, I would then also consider how they can be lived in other ways and that you can take pride in them. And again, how those sorts of things, you know, impact other people and how you exist in the world. And I'm sure there's tons else we could say, but I think that that's a couple of, you know, little things that I can throw into the mix. So, Noelle, what are your little things?
Yeah, I think, isn't it, side note, it's interesting how many men are really focused on size too. I mean, we always talk yep. about it as a female issue or a women's issue, but I think most men that you meet, especially, I mean, it happens a lot more so during the time that it happens a lot more so for women, which is high school and college and all that. Like, men are really focused on and find their identity in their looks and their outward appearance and their ability to be strong and appear strong or big, or, you know, their ability or their talents physically, whether that's, you know, athleticism or whatever. Like, that's a big deal. And it is, it really, it's, even though men aren't as communicative with that, like, they're not as expressive about those emotions. Sometimes maybe they don't know how to express that. Like, that's really, and women don't either. You know, sometimes we don't know how to express that. I didn't talk about this, my true feelings, for a while, but it's still something that's really pervasive for both parties. So, that's really interesting. I will say, it's just to kind of build on what Stephanie was saying, it is really hard to be in the fitness industry and not find your identity from the amount that you do or what it is that you do for fitness or your size and your outward appearance and your muscular appearance. It's just really hard. That is what the industry is built off of. Not to say that it is impossible, but there is a very distorted view of health in the fitness industry as a whole, like, and it's been that way for a very long time. And when you look at 95% of the fitness products and marketing and all that stuff, it's really all about shaming you about the way that you look, trying to make you feel bad for, like, a certain physical feature. Or it's just, maybe it's not, you know, you don't feel like it's shame necessarily, but it is really focused on weight loss, right? And so, and or getting you to look, quote unquote, better, which, again, when we're talking about looking better, there is no absolute there, right? We all assume that there is just one way that looks better than another way, and it is completely false. It's something that is precipitated by this fitness culture. And that, you know, being leaner and more muscular is quote unquote better. And that's just not true. Or like having a slim and slender belly with your abs showing is better. And it's not true. Like, it's just not true. When you're in that fitness culture, when you're an instructor or a teacher or whatever, it's really hard to heal from any sort of over-exercising or disordered eating or body image issues or mindset issues. It's hard. Because you're still in it, you know, you're still bathing in it, you're still seeing it happen. And as much as you possibly can, talk yourself through that and say, no, my worthiness is not in how many classes I taught today or what the number on the scale is or how muscular my arms are, or how, whatever, what my, you know, what my 5K time was, or whatever it is that you're doing, or what, how fast I did Fran, or whatever it is. It still is there. It's still an underlying thing that everybody else is kind of using to evaluate you, and you're using to kind of evaluate other people. And so I guess what I'm getting at is that you still working in the gym is really hard. It's really hard to remove yourself from that and to separate your identity and your worth and to heal completely from the issues that you experienced. And so, yeah, I don't know if it's possible to still be in the gym or to still be involved with fitness without a significant time away from that, and also being able to explore and find other things and other ways that you can, you know, pursue health and strength and or just being fulfilled, giving back, things that you like to do. I don't think it's a problem. I was talking about this on the Paleo View a few weeks ago with Stacy and Sarah. And we were all specifically talking about how hard it is when you find your identity in something and then that thing is taken away from you, specifically when it is you used to be a heavy lifter and you hurt your back, or you used to be a runner and then you severely injured your knee, and then you just didn't have, you know, then you're just not running anymore, or somebody recommends you don't run anymore, or, you know, you used to really be involved with a specific sport and something happened where you just either are, you got a chronic disease or chronic illness or autoimmune condition where you're just, your level of fatigue keeps you from being able to perform. And that's really hard. And so I don't think it's wrong for us to find enjoyment and joy out of those things, right? And that's part of the problem. But I think, I mean, that's not part of the problem. The part of the problem that comes with that is when we find our identity in it, right? And so we assume that who we are as a person is related to and defined by our ability to perform or our ability to lift a certain amount of weight. And so it does take work to separate yourself from that. And it does take being proactive in doing other things and finding your worth and identity in other things, and doing more things. Like, you know, you're definitely a mom, right? You're in a family. You're doing a lot of things with them. Like Stephanie mentioned, like you can give back to their schooling or to after school activities or, you know, things going on in your community. There's always ways to give back, to volunteer, to serve. And I feel like if you can get a little bit more involved in that, it might give you a new perspective in terms of, not to say that you're like, you need a new perspective, but it helps, you know, it's these tiny little things that help us see, oh, fitness is just something that you do. You know, it's not who you are. And it's not, that doesn't have anything to do with your worth. It's just something that you do with your body. And movement can be done in a variety of ways. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to go to CrossFit. You can do all different types of things, right? And it's all about what is going to work for you, what's going to make you feel well, and what's going to help you remain consistent. And if that's walking or working out from your house or, you know, doing mall walks with other mom friends or whatever, like, that's fine, right? You don't actually have to be in the gym. You don't have to do this X, Y, and Z form of fitness. And so it's just helpful to kind of get a new perspective on all of that. Just doing other things helps you get a new perspective on all that. Like when I was younger, that consumed my life, you know, and that was everything. And I spent so much time, even before I was a mom, you know, I spent so much time fitnessing. I did enjoy it and I enjoyed doing triathlons and all that, but it was sort of a disordered relationship with it. I felt like it was more out of, I had to do it and it was part of my worth and my identity and I'd feel bad about myself or like I did something wrong if I missed it and somehow I was better or more good if I did more. And that was just false. And so now it's interesting for me to see, come on the other side of it and still be a personal trainer and still have this fitness brand, so to speak, and to still be helping people with their fitness, but to not feel so pressured to define my worth by what it is that I do. I actually define my worth a little bit more, or I find fulfillment more in helping others achieve their goals and seeing what they're doing. But I'm not in the fitness culture constantly. And I've very much so unfollowed all of the typical like fitness trainers who like to post mirror selfies constantly. It's just not the part of the culture that I want to be a part of. It's not what I need. And so I'm protecting my mental and emotional health. And I'm kind of removing myself from that culture, but that doesn't mean that I still can't help people with my own products, and I can help people have a healthy mindset around it and find new ways to pursue fitness myself while I'm doing that. And I don't put pressure on myself to do things if it's not right for me. And I think that that's what you're going to have to do moving forward, because you have a lot of now, I will say it, baggage. There's a lot of baggage, and bags are okay. You know, they're filled with learning experiences and lessons. And so it's okay to take those into the future with us. And they do teach us and help us as we move forward with pursuing health in a way that we know is going to work. And so that's kind of what you're always going to have to be looking back as you move forward. And that's kind of how I live my life right now. Sure, I'd love to go for a run again. I'm just not going to do it ever. It's not never going to be something that I do. And for me, my, you know, feeling good and my health is much more important than that. And so I do things intentionally to protect that, protect that feeling, you know, that guilt or that, oh, I wish I could do that. Like, I don't surround myself with like all the social media and all the culture that is about that. And so, and I try to speak the truth to my community. And that reinforces, you know, my own beliefs, but it also, I get to see the help that I'm bringing to other people. So just some thoughts, maybe, you know, maybe there's some new opportunities in there for you as you're on this journey. And it's maybe not in the gym, right? Maybe it's outside of the gym. Maybe it's helping people from home. Maybe it's helping people in your community, but it doesn't involve you being a instructor, especially like right now while you heal. This podcast is supported by the Nutritional Therapy Association. The NTA trains and certifies nutritional therapy practitioners and consultants, including me, I'm an NTP, the NTA's Nutritional Therapy Practitioner Program, and fully online Nutritional Therapy Consultant Program empower graduates with the education and skills they need to launch successful, fulfilling careers in holistic nutrition. 4 years ago, I went through the NTA's program and feel it was one of the best career decisions I've ever made. The program teaches foundational principles in nutrition and focuses on a holistic approach to restoring balance and enhancing the body's ability to heal. Registration is now open for the February class, and you can learn more by going to nutritionaltherapy.com. When you sign up, be sure to put well-fed women in the referral field, and you'll get a signed copy of our book, Coconuts and Kettlebells, sent to you. And don't forget to check out NTA's annual conference, Roots, happening March 1st to 3rd in Portland, Oregon. It's one of the most empowering and educational holistic nutrition events of the year, and all are welcome. Again, head over to nutritionaltherapy.com to save your seat for the February class. Question number two is from Sarah. Hi, ladies. I stumbled upon your podcast a while ago and have been binge listening for months now. Love you both. My question is regarding what appears to be a toxic friendship. I've been very good, close friends with someone for a few years now. In the beginning, we got along great and talked endlessly, and it was so easy for us to open up to each other. Over the past 6 to 9 months, though, we have been fighting nonstop. Not just having disagreements, but full on screaming at each other. This leads me to discovering my tendency to dwell on things, have sleepless nights, and such severe anxiety, I found myself crying all night long on more than one occasion. When I realized what was happening, I got a self-help book and have been taking steps to heal. Things are getting much better with how I deal with it. I can at least fall asleep at night on a regular basis now. I don't engage in his arguing and have learned to let go. I recently had a relapse and found myself in an argument with him, and now I'm wondering, should we just cut our ties and throw away our friendship? Whenever I've tried to talk to him in the past about my anxiety, he gets defensive, raises his voice, justifies his behavior and word choices, and doesn't take responsibility for what he says and how it makes me feel. Any advice would be great. Thanks so much.
I have so much advice, I don't know what to do with myself right now.
That's why I included this question. I'm like, this is Stephanie's question.
This is my life.
Not that you have like toxic friendships, but I just knew you'd have a lot of insight.
I currently have a similar question on my plate. I've been thinking about this, like I've thought about this a lot in my life, but I've been thinking about it a lot really intensely recently. Unfortunately, there's so much complexity here with who you are and who this person is that I think it would be really, really hard to make some specific recommendations. I will say this. I am very proud of you for digging into yourself and recognizing that you have personal work that you can do to be stronger in yourself and have stronger relationships with people. There is 100% chance that that work can continue as it can for all of us. And again, I don't know in what ways. You know, I don't know what you've been working through specifically, but we can always become more empathetic to other people's issues and what they're going through and try to hold space for them. And we, in that sense, take care of them. And then we can also always get better at taking care of ourselves, learning where our boundaries are, where we set these lines, and finally see communicating about all of these things with people. I think these are three different but equally important skill sets. empathizing with and taking care of others, empathizing with and taking care of ourselves, growing ourselves, and then learning how to talk about all of it. And it sounds like you're being really intentional about these kinds of things. And I think that that's really great. And what I would ask before you decide what to do about this friendship is what this other person is doing in any of these respects to participate, right? Because if this person is making a really sincere effort, if they're trying to understand where you're coming from, if they're trying to communicate with you on your level, then you can work with that. You know, you can work on this stuff together. One of the most important pieces of romantic advice I ever got was, don't fall in love with potential. And I know this isn't romantic, but it applies for friends too, right? You can hold the space of friendship, but if it's toxic to you and you're only ever believing in potential, then that's a problem. And another thing to pay attention to is another piece of advice. Don't believe apologies, believe patterns, right? And so if you're constantly bumping into problems where you're not feeling valued, where this person is instigating fights, and then they apologize afterwards, but there's no change in the pattern of behavior. And you're just hoping, you're sitting on this potential and hoping that someday it might change because they're a pretty good person most of the time or whatever. Then you might want to tone it down, you know, turn it off. Be very, very clear about why. You could be very, very clear with this person, have a conversation where you talk about what you need. Like, I need you to be making this kind of effort. This is the kind of communication I need. I cannot tolerate when you yell at me, period. We will not be yelling anymore, period. You know, whatever your boundaries are. And I recently set that boundary. I said, we will not yell at each other anymore. I'm out. Bye. You know, set what boundaries you need. Say what you need. Let this person mull them over. Figure out if it's doable for them and then move forward. And if they still can't follow through, then yeah, I think it's absolutely okay. It's very, very hard, especially as people who are really forgiving and empathetic, to draw lines. But that makes it easy to be taken advantage of. And that makes it easy to fall into patterns of abuse and to fall into patterns of being the target of people's anger, right? And nobody deserves to be the target of people's anger. And I understand some people are perfectly happy to be in relationships where they like throw stuff at each other and pots and pans and shoes. You know what I mean? Like, some people, they want to like scream and then they'll have makeup sex and it'll be fine. But like, you need to be on board with that, and you're not on board with that. And I'm very proud of you for recognizing that. And I think just being very clear with yourself about what you want and need and with this person is really important. And if you can't move on once you've like established what you want and need, then yeah, I think you should tone it down. And since it's like, quote, and I'm quote, friendship, maybe there's a way that you can check in every once in a while, or you can decide that you're going to interact less, or say there are certain times you will or won't interact, or if you're in certain moods, like, don't ever call me if you're in a bad mood. You can also set those kinds of boundaries. So I don't know if it necessarily has to be black and white, but I definitely think sitting with what you need and communicating it is the way to go.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that even as we get older, as we move through friendships, whether they've been something that we've had for a long time or that's something relatively new, like, we're not meant to be friends with everybody. It's there as even as you, it seems like you got close to this person, but now you're really starting to see that there's some things here that are not compatible. And they're affecting your health. And so you have to really weigh the benefits of how, you know, is this worth it? Are we both giving as in the same capacity? And if the friendship's no longer serving you, then yeah, the first step that I would take is to back off, is to take, you know, walk backwards to where you can have a friendship and be in each other's lives, but not on the close level that you were, so that you can be there to support each other. And then if that doesn't work, then take another step back. And maybe you aren't meant to be in each other's lives long term. It's something that maybe will be rekindled again in the future. But if it's not, if you're not getting the same love and care and attention that you're putting into this, and you feel like your feelings aren't being regarded or respected, or that you're putting everything in and there's not a like a mutual agreement there on we need to both be respecting each other and we're on the same page, then you are allowed, if you need the permission, here it is, you are allowed to walk away from that and you don't have to feel bad. Like it's okay. And if you're finding that, I mean, it's the worst. It's really bad when things get in your head and then you're like up at night and you're anxious and you're crying and you're hurt and the other person may not feel that, may not be as affected, right? And so, and or maybe not, like you said, not really care about your feelings. That's not a good place to be. And I would think that that's the point to say, okay, like I gotta move back from this because there are a lot of really great people out there in the world, and this person may not be for you. And speaking outside of that, there are people that you may have had in your life for a really long time who you just no longer, the friendship is no longer there. You know, it's you no longer have things in common, or you're just two completely different people. And at some point you kind of just, the light bulb comes on. You're like, oh, I don't really enjoy this friendship anymore. And it's a-okay, folks, to like back away from those to protect your health and your sanity. Because if every time you come away from an interaction with a friend being frustrated or feeling hurt or disrespected or just like, ugh, like, you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So there are other people, other friends. And if you've truly reached out, I think Stephanie had mentioned this, you know, if you've truly said, here's my feelings, here's my thoughts, and it's just disregarded, it's just not worth it.
Yeah. So I recently, you were talking about the anxiety at night, and that just made me go back to a situation I've been in recently. And some of you might piece together that I was recently in a relationship and things got really hard. And I was so worried about change and about myself and about this other person, just terrified for him and for me, and would experience really, like I was so anxious. I stopped eating, you know, I was stopped sleeping and eating, and things were really terrible. And then he cut me loose, which was charitable, although neither of us really knew it at the time. And then everything was okay, you know. And I think often we are stuck in relationships for whatever reason. We think we need them or we think they need us. But the truth is, you actually don't. You know, neither of you actually necessarily need each other. And you might find that both of you are lighter, you know, without it. And you definitely, I draw the line at interfering with my sleep. If somebody's hurting me enough mm-hmm. that I can't, you know, that's yes. always my line. If somebody yep, hurts me enough that it's interfering with my sleep, that's, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And I encourage you that if you think you might be sitting with some fear around that, to look around it, because it's not the end for anybody.
The line is when you mess with my sleep. Yeah. It's true, though. It's true. Even if it's family members, I mean, you can't get around some family members, but you can definitely manage the relationship in a way that you are not as exposed, or you're not like you're not subject to the behavior that you don't appreciate as often. There's definite ways to manage that too. And it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. And I am a much more of a straight shooter. I'm not like super confrontational with people. Like I don't intentionally come for the jugular. Like I watch these Real Housewives, and I know Stephanie, you don't watch it, but like, they are all friends and in some cases family members, and they go so hard at each other. And the things that they say and the accusations that they make are just so toxic. And I'm watching it and I'm like, it's good TV, right? It's just, and like I've said, it's stuff that I watch when I just want to remove myself. And I'm like kind of working on the computer at the same time, but I enjoy it. I love Below Deck. I love the stuff. But the things that they say to each other, I thought back on this and I was like, I would be a wreck if somebody treated me that way. Like that night, I would be mulling it over and really bothered. And like, it would be really hard. I mean, even in the families, like the sisters and the brothers, and like, they all really, I mean, they get into these serious fights and they say some nasty stuff to each other. And then like the next episode, they're like fine. And, you know, some of us just aren't like that. I'm definitely not like that. Like, I'm not confrontational, but I think it's abnormal to not be super affected by a lot of those, like, by confrontation. It's
confrontation sucks.
It's hard for most, the majority of people. I'm not even an emotional person. I'm a pretty straightforward person. And when I say I'm not an emotional person, I have plenty of emotions. I recognize those emotions. I am not as affected. Let's put it that way. Like, I'm just not as, like, impacted. And I'm pretty, I don't know, I can say things and, or somebody can say something to me and I can move on. Like, even I can tell Stephanie's much more, like, in her and our dynamics because we text a lot. So she'll be like, I'm so sorry, but blah, blah, blah. And you'll say something and I'm like, no, I'm totally fine. Like, didn't, no, it's not even affecting me. I don't know. It's like some, you've just like, I can tell she's like, oh, I really want to be careful with Noel's feelings. And I'm like, no, like, you didn't hurt my feelings at all whatsoever. Like, I welcome criticism and all that kind of stuff. But confrontation and argument is really hard. It just affects most people. And so if that's something that's like constantly in your life, like, cut out the source. Like, just cut it out. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not worth it. If you're not getting the same respect and, like, work on, like, there needs to be work coming from both ends. And marriage is a long-term 100/100 thing. And so that's a different, you know, topic altogether when we're talking about commitment and confrontation. Because you are going to have arguments. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have a lot of fluctuations. But the majority of the time, both parties are willing to change and work on it together. And that's where that's a different thing. But just like a friendship where you're just kind of being disregarded is like, ugh. So it's hard. It's relationships are hard in general. And they take a lot of thought and intention, especially and as an adult. And we have to be very protective of our sleep and our health. That was my line too. Steph was like, somebody in my life, I was like, yeah, no, not worth it anymore. Like, we're just not, this isn't a thing. This isn't going to be a thing. Because it's just, it starts to, that just like tumbles into more and more issues. This podcast is brought to you by Thrive Market, an online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. Thrive Market is like Whole Foods, Amazon Prime, and Costco combined. You can shop for thousands of health foods and natural products, including non-GMO foods, snacks, vitamins, supplements, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, baby and kids items, and so much more at 10 to 50% below retail prices. They can offer these prices because they cut out the middleman and ship products directly to you. They also have their own Thrive Market brand, which offers everything from organic virgin coconut oil to grass-fed collagen peptides, all the way to eco-friendly, chlorine-free disposable diapers, which my daughter wears, by the way, at incredibly affordable prices. To get 25% off your first purchase, head over to thrivemarket.com/wellfedwomen. That's 25% off on top of the discounts you already get on Thrive Market. Head over to thrivemarket.com/wellfedwomen. Question number three is from Sarah. Hi, ladies. I'm a new listener. I found you through Girls Gone Wad, and I'm listening to all the back episodes I can. I find myself in a really frustrating situation. I'm very active, teach 3 to 4 classes a week, CrossFit 5 times a week, train for a half marathon, and teach 1 senior fitness class a week, and have a fairly high stress level, husband deployed overseas, 3 young kids, no family close by. I am exhausted already just reading that. I am finding it very difficult to lose any weight. I have been tracking macros using Avatar, I know, for about 3 months, and my weight has only gone up. Right now, they have me at 1,702 calories, 131 grams of protein, 149 carbohydrates, and 66 grams of fat. Obviously, this isn't working for me, but I am stuck as to what to do, and I need to change, and I need to get this weight to budge. I have a hip injury that would feel much better if I'm not carrying an extra 20 pounds. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated.
Are you 100% sure that the hip injury would feel better if you lost 20 pounds? The hip injury is something that is in recovery. And how possible is it that working out this much is actually slowing down your recovery?
Good question, Stephanie. There was a lot of them in there.
Yeah.
That was a lot and of
maybe,
questions.
Maybe I'll just leave it at that. Well,
and then I'll add another one, which is how sure are you that these 20 pounds are quote unquote extra weight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are. Oh, Avatar. Okay. I still don't know who that is. I'm not in the know as
okay.
I'm not in the know as much these days.
I believe that it is an is a kind of a popular app that is specific for like, you know, it's like
weight loss,
nutrition thing.
Right, you give it your numbers and it gives you numbers for your goals and you're saying you want to lose 20 pounds. Yeah. So in terms of what you're doing for your life and the and exercising and how much you're eating, you're way under eating and putting so much psychological weight on yourself on top of so much psychological weight. And I mean, have like psychologically, not at all physically, like so much weight on you emotionally. And I can't imagine. It sounds to me like it must be so strung tightly, you know, and rigidly controlled. 131 grams of protein, you know, do you eat 131 a day? It's just these types of things can actually make it harder for your body to sit at a stable weight in the long run. Exercising a lot. If I exercise a lot, I definitely notice that I might hold on to a little bit of stress weight, you know, a little bit of stress fat. And I feel pretty sure that my thyroid stuff goes down because I you stop losing. Your body slows down thyroid function. So you will stop losing weight because it just doesn't want you to like be starving yourself or over-exercising yourself or over-stressing yourself. It doesn't want these things. And in those situations, it tries to hold on to weight. It slows down your metabolism, period. And so sometimes it's just like when you confront that basic physiological fact, aside from all the psychological stuff that we've been talking about, it becomes almost nonsensical to try to lose weight quickly by cutting calories dramatically. It really does. And so there's a lot here, and this podcast has been pretty long already, so I won't ramble too much, but I really, really think that some time relaxing to heal your injury, you know, let your immune system calm down after healing the injury, let your like body recalibrate its metabolism to eat some more, to eat freely, to relax your grip on your control over your weight. I know it's terrifying. I know. But that's really the thing here.
Here's the thing is like, who is telling you that these are 20 quote unquote extra pounds, and why do you think you need to lose them? What is it about your, like, what will happen in your life when you lose 20 pounds? Are you going to be happier? Are you for sure that you're all of a sudden going to have a better, like your hip injury is going to disappear? That's not, because I will be honest, that is not how injuries get better. If you have a chronic hip injury, first of all, you need to figure out what is it? Is it inflammation and bursitis? Is it some sort of labral tear? Is it an actual SI joint pelvic floor issue where you actually need to rehab your pelvic floor? There could be a lot there. And I highly doubt, because I'm speaking from experience, I've had plenty of hip injuries. I highly doubt that losing 20 pounds, both the process to lose that 20 pounds and then like scientifically, when we're talking about 20 pounds not being on your body anymore, I highly doubt that your hip injury is all of a sudden going to disappear or get better in that scenario. And so my gut is saying that you might be using that slightly as an excuse to push yourself more in that direction. Whereas the root that is really underlying here is, I think I need to lose weight because then I will look better and I'll be a little bit more in control of my appearance and other people's perception of me. And all of these wonderful things are going to happen because now I will finally be lean and thin and quote unquote attractive and have this better body. And I will look like a CrossFit or whatever that means. And I'll just feel so much better about myself. And I hate to break it to you, but that's also not true. Happiness is not a destination. You all of a sudden don't reach some weight and then find happiness. A lot of people actually end up feeling a lot more miserable. Their health ends up being sacrificed in that process. And I think that we're already seeing that. And you're already feeling that, you know, as you are doing all of these things, like what you're doing, teaching 3 to 4 classes a week, then doing CrossFit and also training for half marathon and then teaching one senior fitness class a week. That's enough to put you into like overtraining mode, much less you are severely under eating. So it's no wonder to me that your weight has gone up because your body has completely, it is in freak out mode. You are probably precipitating inflammation. Your thyroid is starting to completely downregulate. The chronic cortisol is changing everything up in your endocrine system and your body's now trying to hold on desperately to fat because it is starving. And so this is a classic example of I'm trying to do everything. I'm working out a ton. I have to lose weight. I'm under eating, but what's happening? I'm gaining weight. And my gut tells me that if you start to eat more, like maybe 1,000 calories more, as a base, as like a starting point, that will get you to a point where your body is a little bit more back in balance and it's not going to hold on to weight so much and be in freak out and starvation mode. And if you focus on eating more collagen, more minerals, and especially vitamin D, which is really important for the assimilation of minerals in bones and joints and tendons and all that stuff, and you're really making sure you're intentional with your omega-3 intake. Right now, you're just in such a nutrient deficiency that it's no wonder that you have, you know, chronic pain and chronic injury. And so you need to be in a surplus with nutrients. You need to be eating a ton of nutrients. You need to be eating a caloric intake that supports your activity because right now, again, severely under eating. And I just, you know, it's hard because I do feel like the root of all of this is what we are perceiving, what society is telling us, right? And so I would encourage you to look at what is exactly, who is it? Where is this coming from? That this voice that is telling you, you are quote unquote overweight, or this weight is extra, or that somehow this weight is detrimental to your health or to your injury. And explore that and explore where that voice is coming from. And if that is in fact true. And because this is the message that we all get all the time. And so this is, I know that you're a new listener. You'll probably go back into the backlogs and you'll be hearing about us talk about this a lot. But this is a lie that has been told to women for a very long time, which is we need to be smaller and we need to be thin, and thin equals health and thin equals happiness and thin equals attractiveness and control and all the things that we want. And it's just not true. And you can be healthy at a variety of weights. You can be strong and fit at a variety of weights if that's what you want to be. You can be worthy at a variety of weights. There is no one magical weight that all of a sudden makes you healthy and your injuries to be gone and all that stuff. So moving forward, I would consider creating a new conversation around that. Eating more, getting our book Coconuts and Kettlebells, which we do talk about our minimum caloric intake, and we do give some macronutrient recommendations in there based on your activity and what you're doing and your goals. We talk about nutrient density in there and really what foods to focus on. And I would highly recommend getting in with a really qualified PT, maybe somebody that focuses on pelvic floor health, to see if that hip injury is actually maybe a pelvic floor issue. And there's some instability there, and that you really do actually, you can find resolution and healing with very intentional physical therapy. And it really probably doesn't have anything to do with 20 pounds. So there you have it. Those are all my opinions.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So that's it from us. Make sure to go and buy Coconuts and Kettlebells. That's our book. It'll be in the link in the show notes. And you can also leave a review on Amazon. That would mean the world to us. For more from me, go to coconutsandkettlebells.com. For more from Stephanie, go to paleofromoon.com. Follow us on the Insta at wellfedwomen. And if you have a question, you can send it to wellfedwomen@gmail.com. We will talk to you next week.